Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Ohassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Germ, and the return of Mariano. Hey, what's up, boy? Yeah, he back in the building. We got a great show for you guys. Flatbush Misdemeanors, one of our favorite shows from last year, is back. The season premiere happened, and we are going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about P-Valley. This show, man, I don't I don't know whose reality it represents. Like, I'm just like, all right. We're also going to talk about Juneteenth. I should have started with this. Happy Juneteenth. By the time you're listening, this will be your day off, because Did y'all notice mad people are now getting Juneteenth off as a holiday? I'm like, okay, I did not know we were doing that. So shout out to Juneteenth. And of course, Father's Day. Today, the day we're recording is Father's Day, which is why I'm a surprise. I got both Mariano and Jerv here, man. What y'all hear on Father's Day? Making time for the pod? Damn. I feel like very blessed right now. But before we get into all of that, I just want to remind everybody, www.patreon.com/countthedings. That's where you go to get all of that exclusive access to stuff like the overflow episodes, like the watch-alongs. We did a watch-along for Game 6 of the NBA Finals last week. We also did a watch-along for The Lawnmower Man. Me and Zach and Maze did that. So we're keep doing these things. So make sure you guys are locked in on the Patreons as always. Oh, and by the way, you also get access to the Discord and a bunch of other cool shit. So don't miss out on that. But let's get started on the show. What are y'all sending me in this group chat, by the way, man? Like, I've been kind of running around.
Finally had a chance to really scroll up and see what's going on.
So it's a bunch of shit. So I'm going to start from the top, which is the shit that I did see, which is Quavo walking in the barbershop and the barber kicked the man out the chair mid-cut. It's not even like, yo, I can't start with you yet. Like, you mid-cut. What would y'all do if your barber tried to kick you out the chair because a celebrity walked in?
First of all, whoever the celebrity is, my nigga, you're getting ignored. Secondly, I'm not getting out of that chair, right? It's not flying, first of all. And it's a lot of dickhead barbers that do this shit now, right? Why would you fuck up your for show money
for show money?
You feel me? Like, it's in a situation where you got a nigga that come to you every 2 weeks paying you your $40 to $50. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You've been doing it for 9 years, nigga. Yeah. For a nigga to treat you like shit and maybe have you travel way out your way to post you. And I think, like, the pandemic changed the barber's whole swag, right? Mm-hmm. You got appointments. You got, you know, they gave them their power of how much, what they do. Right. And I'm not mad at it. Right. They do make us into who we are. Right. They create art.
Yeah.
But have some dignity, nigga. You niggas.
That's the part where, like, if my barber ever did that, it's not necessarily about like it is about the respect. Right. Like, it's about me. Like, damn, like, you my guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we do. But secondly, like Trey said, have some respect, because, like, if you about to just groupie out over this and kick me out the chair for homie, I'm never coming back to you anyway, because you just showed me a side of you that I never knew was there before. Like, I didn't know you was going to do that. Like, I didn't know that all a man had to do was just walk in. His presence was enough to make you lose your composure. I didn't know that about you. So now that I know these things about you, and I know that I'm just here until a celebrity come get you, and I'm looking at you different now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. To better handle that situation, honestly, I'm no barber. I got barber homies. But you should have a slot for celebrity niggas if you're going to be out of the shop, right? Give yourself a 3-hour window and saying, hey, this is when I travel and I come back to the shop. Because that cut better be worth it. First of all, for you to stop your business, to stop your regular business. That means you're getting $100 to $500 for this particular cut that you're driving. All and gas too high, by the way, because a celebrity nigga nowadays not going to come to your shop like that. A nigga gonna try to close your shit like a Chanel store and say, all right, nigga, we don't want nobody in here. I'm paying for your set of business for this time slot.
That's the thing. Of like, I feel like, okay, let me ask you this question. All right. Is it on the celebrity to tell the man in the chair, yo, I got your cut, but, like, I've got some shit. I got to get this shit done. So I will get your cut for you.
To move, that's what we're going to have to do. Because I would do that with art, right? There would be four niggas in front of me. Not four is too much, because I ain't going to try to get in my pocket like that. I'm going to say two niggas in front of me. I would say I'm going to pay for both of you guys' haircut in advance because I got shit to do. And I know I can't sit in the shop all day. It's Arizona. They don't do appointments. Some people can, some don't. But you know Art, that nigga be cutting every nigga head in Arizona. So I said, all right, first of all, Jer, before you even do the rich nigga shit on me, the haircuts are $25. I could spare $50, my nigga, to get ahead.
I just didn't know if Amin realized he was going to get both sides of the perspective on her. I think I thought he just thought he was about to get the nigga that would be in the chair perspective. He didn't realize that the celebrity was also on this shit and the nigga coming in.
I got shit to go. I'm just going to pay for y'all niggas' haircuts because y'all ain't about to do nothing anyway but talk about sports. Blase, I really got to get this. I got an event real quick. You the only nigga I trust with my head, pause, if need be. And then basically, I'm going to be like, look, here goes $75. My cut and them two niggas right there that I cut in front of.
Yeah.
Because when I walk, you know how that Saturday, if you, Mari could know because he in Atlanta. Atlanta kind of had that type of kind of Phoenix vibe where you walk in a shop and you look. And when you look to the left, it's eight niggas. Then you got the nerve to ask your barber, hey, how many you got?
How many
and
got?
Lie and be like.
That's why I was never mad at the appointment shit coming into place. Because like now my barber's my barber. That's my dog. Like 10 years. Yeah. I can always text him or call him and be like, yo, let me know what's going on today because I didn't make an appointment. Let me know. And he'll holler at me an hour in advance and be like, yo, just come through at 12 or whatever, whatever. But the appointment shit make it to where when I walk in, I don't care who in there. I know what time I'm getting the chair. So
hold on. So my barber, like one of the rare barbers that pre-pandemic, he was on the appointment shit.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is the appointment don't mean shit. Like, so for instance, yesterday I had my haircut at 2. I'm there at 2. He ain't even there. Like the doors closed a lot. I'm like, hey man, where you at? I'm 2 exits away. And so
of course
we didn't get the cut started to like 2:20. So like
I ain't gonna lie, like, Kev did me like that before. Nigga, I was standing in front of the shop, nigga. It's like 7:30 in the morning. He like, I just land off LAX and everything. I've taken my luggage, everything. I'm standing in front on Long Beach Boulevard. Like,
then with your bags,
everything, nigga, and like I'm sitting there and then
looking like a nigga, target.
I'm just now leaving the house. He lived like a cool 15 minutes, but still, it's just the fact that you're just standing up there, like.
So let me ask y'all this though, y'all. So pre-pandemic, y'all weren't on appointments because I know the hairline jokes will come, but like I've been appointment boy since like college. Like I've been making appointments.
No, what?
Yeah, my barber.
Everybody ain't do that though.
Yeah. Okay. My barber might have got on it like maybe a year before. You know what I'm saying? Before,
like, I want to say 2 years before. And like at first he was doing it like you call him and like, hey man, can you get me like 3? Or you text me, can you get you 3? Like, oh nah, man, I got this thing that so it was like this game guessing game. Probably about a year before the pandemic, I'm gonna say. He started with the app.
Yeah.
And then you go in and you could see what the slots are. And so and now my new
that
trick
changed
is,
the game though, right there.
Yeah, no,
what's it called? Bookie or something? Is that the joint y'all talking about?
The one I use is called the cut.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Like when the apps came in, involved, that changed the game. Because that now gives you a time to honor, right? You know what I'm saying?
Niggas don't honor shit, man.
But I'm just saying, no, but here's the thing.
Roughly. Realistically, time window.
you gotta respect it like a substitute teacher. You give a nigga 15, 20 minute window. Because it'd be traffic, especially in New York. I don't even be trusting that shit. My shit be at 10, I'd be like, this nigga gonna get here 10, 15, 10, 20, right? So I respect that part. But it's one time, this is how I switched up my barber in New York. The nigga was an hour late, bro. But I needed a cut that bad.
Right.
He didn't take no discount off my cut.
Really?
None of that shit, bro. No.
Hey, but like, did you know him?
you don't get no discount for that. That's part of the game.
Nah, it wasn't bro. I had shit to do, Jerv.
No. I'm being respectful to what you got going on. I understand that. My whole thing is that like niggas know. Like, I mean, I feel like my barber was an anomaly. Like, bull. Like, I'm using the chair 5 to 7 minutes after the appointment time. Even now, when I go for just to get the beer, because I know everybody's like, why are you going to the shop, right? But like, sometimes you just want to get the clean shave. It's a different shave. Yeah, but like I feel like people an hour, like I feel like if it's just part of the game, like your barber is going to be late every now and then, not all the time, but every now and then you're rolling the dice.
Appointment for an hour, no way. Ain't no fucking way. Ain't no fucking way. I wanted to put my hands on that nigga.
Yeah, I'll give you 10, 15 minutes, like, especially if you in contact with me. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's been Trey, were y'all in contact?
Like, nigga, the nigga was like, I'm waiting on an Uber. I'm like, oh,
shit. Yeah, my barber hit me a couple times before. Like, yo, I'm getting something to eat, or I'm waiting on this or whatever. I'll be up there in 10, 15, like, you know, whatever. And it's like, cool.
I believe I'm one of the most patient niggas. But when it comes to an hour, bro, that's disrespectful.
That's OD. I was OD. I ain't gonna lie. Like, that's
like
crazy.
I know I set this call up. I mean, I set this cut up on a certain time because I know I got shit to do.
Yeah.
I had two calls, like two important calls.
There you go. Yeah.
Now I'm on a call sitting like this, pressing mute, talking, pressing mute, talking.
Yeah.
Nigga, I don't want to do that. I just want to get my cut and talk to you. But instead, you walk in and you stroll in. It's no hustle. It's not like, hey, nigga, you better pretend you out of breath, nigga. You gonna be an hour late. Nigga.
Yeah, that's another thing. Lie too. You gotta come in with a story. Like, you gotta come in there and be like, nah, man, it was just non Rottweilers that fucking talk. Nigga, there gotta be something going on.
Could
like,
talk.
Yeah, it gotta be something.
I mean, the nigga came in with the cool talk though. The nigga said, "Hey, man, how you doing, man?"
Hey, brother. Did he call you brother?
He like, hey, man, I ain't seen you in a minute. It's good. I'm like, nigga, this is why. I got a whole nother barber. You my backup barber. And that's the only thing. My
could have
told
me an hour ago if you got here. Nigga, what you mean? You
my barber actually had a doctor's appointment, so I needed a backup barber.
Damn. My problem is I can't trust too many barbers, man. I can't. Like,
well, now that a nigga bald, bro, I can't.
Oh yeah, you could do whatever now.
Like, hey, you can't really do whatever because a nigga could cut your head up, crazy, with the razor.
I've seen it.
No, hold on. Then you shouldn't be a barber if you can't even do a baldy right. Like, that's not a.
I mean, you have no idea, bro. I'm telling you, you need
nigga,
a nigga.
Can't erase the chalkboard, right, my nigga? Like, that's really
this
what
is this
doing,
is
like.
Not this is not close to the topic. But Jerv, what's the normal treatment? What your barber do for your bald head?
The rag, you know what I mean, get the heat, the steam going, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, does the low cut with the joints and then brings out the razor and then, you know what I'm saying, yada yada yada, and then it's, you know, the beard time. And the
so
beard is a whole nother level.
This, bro, and this is why I can't switch up my barber, bro. Nigga gets the hot towel with the eucalyptus, right? Ooh. First, you start off with the other shit, the white towel, just to get all the loose hairs out first. You know what I mean? Because that's mm-hmm. the same thing you're supposed to do with your face. You're not supposed to scratch your face. So you get all that shit out. Then he go with the towel with the eucalyptus, right? Put that on. Then go with the cut, regular clippers. Get your shit cool. Then mm-hmm. put the shaving cream shit on.
Yep.
Get a hot towel. Put it on top of that. Take it off. Yep. Shave, right? Then get another eucalyptus towel. Put it on top. Wrap it up. Then hit my face up. After you do my face up, you put another towel with the hot. Hey, bro, but I'm paying for my shit. You see my shit, my head glowing, my face glowing. You feel me? Bitches don't only want to just kiss my face. They want to kiss the top of my head. You hear me?
So, yes, they do.
Hey.
That is a bald nigga special right there.
Bald nigga special.
Oh, no, my bad.
I'm part of the bald nigga community now. I'm living through Mari now. When I see Mari take off the durag and then he zoom in like it's a motherfucking cinema with glaze, he zoom in and show the waves, I'll be like, I remember those days.
My barber told me there's some niggas in Texas, the new shit is where they get like a Caesar everywhere and then they'll just have like literally waves just here in the front. Like,
okay, so
I thought you were talking about the shag in the back.
That's not new.
No, but like the opposite.
That's not new.
Oh, okay.
Not the shag, it's a shag in the front.
But it's in the front. Okay, so yeah.
Like the Sean Kemp pump, but just a lower version.
That's a south side fade. That's a south side.
That's south side. That's not a fade.
So the back is gone, bro. It's just this.
Yeah, it's just this.
It's a south side fade. That's Texas. That's been Texas for like 25 years.
Texas niggas, wow.
I'm about to say, I never see that shit.
They do it all. They do it all, bro. But it's just, it's that front. That's Dallas nigga shit. I mean, the Dallas niggas. And then they had the big grill. Like the grill be like, you know how niggas like that grill be fucking poking.
Speaking of which, y'all
shout out to them niggas though, man. They fly. I fuck with their style too though. Dallas niggas and Houston niggas is fly.
Y'all reminded me of a line from Flatbush that we're gonna talk about later. The connect wouldn't hit him with the plug because his beard connects.
Yo, oh,
that's dog.
That's crazy.
And yo, as soon as I heard him say a Philly barber,
he said the Philly Connect said we give him with a plug until his beard connects. I'm like, damn, man. Oh man. So all right. So let me keep going through this because the chat been wilding for the last 72 hours or so. So then there's a video of a dude eating out a girl in a swimming pool, but like
that shit is cold, red, horny, my nigga. First of all, it's chlorine, and this is a complete stranger, niggas.
And he's like, he's attacking with his face.
Viciously.
Like headbutting.
Literally.
In the words of Uncle Clifford, in a pandemic.
Wait, he ate out a complete stranger?
Dog, it gets better though. Like, first of all, it said someone pointed it out. I had to look through it and I realized niggas were not only wearing, well, I can't say what kind of beater it is. We'll just call it a beater. He had a beater on in the pool, he had socks on. I'm looking at the picture right now. Nigga, why you got socks on in the pool? Then they go to the other thing where it says he put it in the wrong hole.
And you or the right hole, depending on what his plans were. Like, man, I don't know what he was. But no, bro. Like, come on.
And then look at this man.
Yeah.
Man, like, what is you doing?
Oh, like, my God. Yeah. I didn't really pay attention to that. That kind of just happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of tough right there, man. I know sometimes you be at pool parties or you be out somewhere and you might see a young lady and you think a couple things up here, but never do you ever do some shit like this. Like that's kind of crazy.
Nah, that's kind of crazy. Pool party, bro.
Yeah, that's
chlorine's nasty.
You know, randos, man.
That's nasty, man. If you wake up the next day and you got a situation going on over here somewhere, like you know, bruh. You got to blame yourself for that, bro. Like. Cause you don't know what's going on with people. Like you don't know what she came right, from. So what she was, you don't know.
Pre married, all this other shit, girlfriend, etc. We throwing that out the window. Hypothetically, you at a party, a joint is on you, like for sure. Eye contact, rolling. She wants to get hit, or you got a chance to do anything to her. What are you doing?
Are we in the pool? Or are we just talking, you mean just a regular situation?
I mean, it could be pool party, it could be a party. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm rocking it, I'm rolling. I'm not gonna lie, but it's gotta be like a shower or something.
The easiest thing here is like probably some titty action. I'm gonna suck a titty for sure. That's the easiest thing here.
And the worst you can get from that is titty sweat. So I respect that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to go with like. You know what I mean? That's probably the
Am I allowed to answer? I'm gonna whoop my dick out and let her suck me off, or it's gotta be something I'm doing to her?
No, you can whatever. It's all fair game. That's what I said. This is hypothetical. This is not
so
telling yourself or anything like that. But you said you would just get hit.
Yeah. Hold on. Y'all niggas trying to tell me. I'm sorry, Trey. Y'all niggas trying to tell me that. You only sucking a titty, and you on over here just getting a meaty. Nobody's taking nothing down.
Well, no, it's not only. Like, I'm saying that like immediately, like what I'm gonna.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I was understanding.
I think that there's one action that I can do right here, right now. Like we both know what's going on. I think that's the easiest way to send that signal back. Like, yeah, this is going down. Like at some point, because
I feel like getting dome. Is like the midway point between like it's not as like yo I need an environment to smash here, but also it's not
that's a
like,
commitment.
Like I feel like head is just a quiet place. That's all you need. You need one bush, but like what's crazy and I'm not even trying to be too technical, right? You get some people that be like you don't even know her, you don't know where her mouth been, right? Yeah, you got to. Jerv talking about smashing, right? Because Mari giving you the safest answer, right? He can get a little dirt on his tongue at best. And Jerv saying hitting the shower. I don't know where he's gonna get the shower from.
Yeah, yo, Jerv went like
this nigga going detail.
My whole life.
He going through the house where he don't even supposed to be. Again, you're not at your own house. You at a party. So however you figure it out, I don't know where you go get. You go get in a shower in a stranger's crib. Crazy, because you don't even know what
see body some wash hair in the soap and be
that
like,
that shit might be dollars for a body wash. Yeah. Like this nigga trying to hit passionately. So that means he got no bag and he out here hitting in the shower. I mean, I like your answer.
I ain't got no bag.
That's more of a realistic situation to get some head and just keep it moving. Because you could just fist bump after and you ain't got to do all this other shit. But
also, like, if you get caught, like, it's a real. Like, she's
but
in trouble.
Even if you like, get caught, a nigga might be like, hey! Or like, oh my God. Like, it ain't. You know what I mean?
You're looking back like.
Jerv, you should leave the laugh. Why are you taking the fucking laugh out of the pod? Nigga muted the laugh. The nigga covered his mouth like a little ass kid.
I'm trying to be respectful.
No, laugh, nigga. That means I said something funny, nigga. We already on Zoom like some.
I gotta balance it out, my nigga. Everybody can't be laughing.
All right,
well, you can't be out here striking fours.
Speaking of balance, Juneteenth.
Oh man.
Hey man. First of all, can I? Before we get silly with this,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Shout out to my cousin Al Edwards, the Mr. Juneteenth. He the reason why we got the holiday.
For real?
Started in Texas. Yes. Out in Galveston, he was part of the representative house in Texas and stuff like that. Signed the bill, got a statue there. He died in 2020. He died in 2020. And obviously, we got the national holiday last year, but everything was shut down. This is the first time we're going to have it with everything open.
Can I say something that might be controversial? I feel like white people shouldn't get the day off.
So yeah. I had a white coworker say that. They said we shouldn't get it off. And I said, I don't know if this is pandering, but I'll take it. But also, to an extent, I feel like it should be a day, not of work, but contribution or some shit. Like if you're gonna be off that day, I feel like if you're gonna take it off, nigga, you gotta do something that's like work.
Look, man, if they won't do it for Jesus and the Easter Bunny, they damn sure ain't going to do it for us, man. That's why I'm like, send them niggas back to work. Go back to work. You work. Yeah. We'll take this day off.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know, to be like, fair, if you work at Rosh Hashanah, I mean, you working during Rosh Hashanah and all these other holidays, they don't exclude. We get it off, too.
We don't get Rosh Hashanah off. What are you talking about, bro?
Got it off.
What's up?
I got it off as a
Jewish school. Trey, you, but you working in the school.
I did taught as a Jewish school. Though,
Like they don't like the homies. They take
I'm just trying to think of the world having exclusivity holidays. I have yet.
I take Eid off, like you know, and it's like that's.
All right, well, get a niggas our shit then.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
I never looked at it that way because I've had so many holidays off that I've shared with like. Other religions and you know different beliefs. So
my thing is this: it's like, yo, first of all, the only reason why this holiday exists is because y'all fucked us over, man. Y'all fucked black people over. So it's like the fact that you would get a day off for fucking black people over.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, and then also, there's nothing wrong with. I hate how people try to make it like a bad thing that there's things that are exclusive to certain people. Like, bro, that's just how the world is, bro. Some of this shit is just exclusive to certain people. Like, every parade is not for everybody. Every cookout is not for everybody. Every single thing is not. And that's just the way it is. And that's okay.
You know why that is, though, Mari? The reason why is because our society, more than any other in the world, looks at holidays as like, yo, how are we going to make some money?
Yeah,
the President's Day 100%. Sale, the da-da-da, like, oh, St. Patrick's Day, that, like, oh, we're going to sell beers. Like, everything is built around, yo, how are we going to make this money? So to tell people, yo, this is kind of like a sacred day. We actually want to chill on this shit. This is kind of for us to chill and reflect on. Like, that bothers them.
The marketing is over with.
I can't make money off of this shit, man.
You know what's crazy, though?
Why you counting my pocket?
Walmart, nigga, was the sickest niggas of all, bro. Collabing, nigga, Pride with Juneteenth, nigga, to roll out of ice cream. The flavor sounded kind of unique, though. I wasn't mad at
What's the flavor?
The Juneteenth shit, I think, was like red velvet. Some shit.
I do like red velvet cake,
It was something like that.
My nigga, the flavor is velvet, red velvet and cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's red dope, velvet and cheesecake.
That does sound, I think, amazing. there was some brand that already had that. It was something about, I remember reading about
the brand,
it.
Like when the brand's called is Creamalicious. So it's swirled red velvet and cheesecake.
Creamalicious.
Flavored ice cream. And it's two black ass hands. High five.
Wow.
It's Uncle Clifford ice cream.
Oh, I thought that was they. I thought that was they great. Man. Yeah, I'm good.
Man, I'm the Juneteenth. Yeah, but it's the Juneteenth ice cream.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, it's one of those things where, like, now we talked about this, I think, last year. Like, do you see Juneteenth turn into like a holiday, a full blown cookout, all that shit? Yes. Especially because now everything is open. Like, I think we said it back then, and it's like, yes, 100%.
No, it threw me off. They were like, oh, we closed on Monday. I'm like, why the fuck are you closed on Monday? Like, I was upset. Like, what's going on here?
But here, like, we could are. You imagine trying to order Popeyes and niggas tell you they closed? I'm going to be like, nigga.
You here for me. What you mean?
You know I wanted chicken, nigga. You know I wanted chicken today, nigga.
Yeah, come on. The blackest,
nigga, all the chicken spots spicy better be open, too. Nigga.
You know the vibes, yeah.
Feel me?
You got damn right.
Spicy five-piece tender,
I'm hungry,
nigga.
As fuck now, man. Damn, oh, God. Got me so hungry,
man. I'm going to motherfucking Brown Sugar Bounce at Brooklyn Museum in a minute, and they got the food
what
trucks.
Is that? Oh, that's the shit.
Something
is
fancy.
That
the
it's gonna be a little vibe.
Yeah.
Is it fancy?
Jerv, it is not fancy.
Oh.
It is gonna be. Said, is it's it gonna fancy? Be black and brown people shaking ass, sir. It's gonna be the big part.
Can you wear like sneakers and shorts there, or do I have to come like? With
it's
like cold, a trench coat, bro. And all that type
it's
shit on.
Oh, brother, it is windy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I didn't know if I had to be like, you know, with the trends, or if I could just be myself.
What I got on, I got my Children Are the Future shirt. I got my little nice little corduroy get downs on, my Izzy Miyakis, and then I'm about to throw on the Jordan 3s, mochas. Nice little fit.
Well, that's solid. Yeah, that's good.
Good
money,
little
then.
Fit. You know what I'm saying? In a little, you know, bubble bath, Mason Margillis. You know? So they, you know, like Toucan Sam, the hoes follow their nose.
Stupid.
I'm the funniest, man. The funniest.
You said Toucan Sam. Nah,
First of all,
real shit.
I want to shout out my man, Darren, out in Austin. The nigga loves Jerv, bro. He said, Jerv, my favorite out of all you niggas, because that nigga Jerv old and just don't fucking get it. But then he be frustrated when y'all trying to explain it to the nigga. Your story.
I'm not old, though.
You not old, but you act like it, nigga. You say,
yo,
I don't want to hear that. And I love that you are partnered with Mari, because Mari balanced you out.
Yeah, see, I was about to say, being old, it's not about like you being like some old ass nigga. But you admittedly be like, bro, I'm the old man. Like, get off my grass, dog. I ain't with none of this shit.
But like, I just think niggas don't have good taste sometimes, and I just gotta let niggas know shit be trash.
And
like, everybody likes to be like, oh, it's the wave. This is what we do. He say he don't like Beanie Siegel.
No, he says you sound like Beanie Siegel, and I was crying laughing. Like, no, that shit is so fucking funny to hear people come out and say Jerv's their favorite. It's great, because that means Jerv, keep doing what you're doing. I was proud of you for you texting me the other day when you were going to the gym saying, hey, I'm trying to get into drill music.
Yeah. Nigga, I heard rap drill music was the shit. So I hit my mans up. He's the connoisseur of if I wanted an album, I would hit Mari, because I know Mari listened to everything also. But you got the playlist. But then you didn't have a playlist for me.
First of all, my life ain't that hard no more, bro. I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
I'm cool on it. I'm cool on the New York Kung Fu kick, bro. That shit is a lot. I've been, you know, nigga was listening to Solange this morning, bro.
Yo, you just made
the vibes is very different, nigga.
Yo, you just made me think of something, yo. I went to the new Kobe Gigi court in Philly right today to go put some shots up or whatever. So, you know, I'm out there. I'm shooting around. Niggas is running full on the one side. I'm like, I'm good. That's not what I'm here for. I just came to shoot some little elbow jump shots, maybe do a couple 3-2-1 and like see if I hit the shot, and then I'm a roll. These other niggas, you know, now enough come over there and they like, yo, you know, we thinking about, you know, is it cool? You try and run? Nah, it's cool. Yo, y'all got it, gang. And, you know, I came for what I came for. I'm out. I'm walking out the joint, and this dude goes, yo, old head, Who you talking to, bro? Nigga, mind you, the nigga look like he my age, bro. He looks like he's like look like we could have been in high school at the same time. Oh, man. He says, "Yo, you about to dip?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know I'm out, you know, da-da-da-da." "Yo, don't dip. Yo, we got some more old heads about to come through." So like, you know, that's what you was Yo, dog.
That nigga basically told you, "We got your crowd on the way. You ain't got to leave cuz we here. Your crowd is on the way."
Come on, dog.
Immediately, like, how did you feel when he said old head, though?
I looked down and was like, damn, am I like the old, do I got like goggles on or some shit? Like,
somebody, we did this, yo, we've done this topic before. We're like, have you ever been called OG? Someone called me OG and I was
OG,
like,
Unk. I used to be called Big Bro.
Unk is a scary word, too.
Unk is on the borderline right there. Unk is on the borderline.
I'm getting called Unk now. Why is it scary, though?
Okay, hold on. Arrange them for me. What's the word?
For me, I think it's three. Bro. Well, yeah, it's four. So I think that Big Bro is what I used to get called at my old job because they seen that I was a couple years older than them. But I'm not So Big Bro, I would say Unk is the step up from that because that means it's a couple years over. Old head is like, it's a wrap. OG mean you might as well be a nigga grandpa. Like, and I'm saying some people use these words differently. I'm saying for me, when I hear these words, that's kind of what it is. Now, I know some dudes, some younger dudes say OG, and they might really meant to call you Unk. They might have really meant to call you Big Bro, but they say OG because they think they're being respectful. You get what I'm saying? But that's where I think it kind of goes.
So out of them four.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say out of them four is
Big Bro
is light. That's nothing, right?
That's not, right.
I'm gonna go OG right after that because I feel like OG is just something that like if I was playing ball and I'm 28 and it's a 17 or 18 year old young boy come out and he's just trying to play, you know, get a run, he might call me OG then. You know what I mean? So I'm not tripping off that. Unk to me is like when I think of Unk, I think of Shannon Sharp, right? Like I think of like, yo, that's everybody Unk. Like I think of Snoop, like Uncle Snoop or whatever. Like to me, that's like, damn, like, yo, you're my parents' age.
I think Jerome. You know?
Oh, no. Oh.
Unk, you say Unk? I think of Jerome instantly.
I mean, so, niggas got to know how to squabble.
Unk and old head, to me, that's like.
Old head's definitely number one.
Yeah, old head. Like, yeah,
I'd rather be called OG than Unk, Mari. Like, OG.
I see what you're saying about. Okay, yeah. I'll give you that.
I've been getting called Unk, and I don't feel no way about it. I've always been Big Homie. I've always been Big Bro. I'm just accepting it, bro. I understand. The only person that cannot make you feel cool is kids, right? And we got a chance to see that with Jay-Z and Blue Ivy, right? Where he's trying to fix her hair and she's like, "Watch out, dad." And I think that's probably the moment where no matter niggas look up to you or not, right? We all have, like, we've been doing podcasts for about 5 years now and we've had our great thing of following. But if your kids, if a nigga come up to you and say, "Yo, I love your dad," look at you like, "This lame ass nigga." You know what I mean? And you have to just accept that shit because kids is the one radar that's going to tell you you're not fucking cool no matter how many people think you are cool. And I've accepted that shit as far as, like, I'm cool to some people. Like, my nephew think I'm the corniest nigga in the world, bro. Like, this nigga does not fuck with me. He's 16 right now. I done had this nigga be around the Seahawks. He didn't give two fucks. This nigga asked me about the basketball shit. I'm like, "I know everybody. You want to hang out?" No.
Yeah.
The nigga see me. I'm verified on Instagram. He don't give a fuck. He be like, "Bro, why are you watching my stories?"
Yeah.
He be mad, bro. Like, legit, like, bro, you don't have to reply to everything.
Because he still see you as just he still just see you as a family member. Like, that's just it's not really there. Like, yeah.
And I'm done convincing it. Like, I'm done trying to tell him like I'm cool or not, because that's not for him to determine whether he see it or not. I just be happy.
It just used to be this old dude that lived on our block when I was back in Detroit, and we used to call him, like, you remember the OG, like, "What up, OG, triple OG?" Like, we used to call him that. So the OG shit to me in my head is always gonna be. It's going to trigger that for me. You know what I mean? But I get what y'all saying about the OG tag. Like, it's not a bad tag to have. Like,
I mean, Amin hit on it too, right? He asked, "Are we just out of touch? Are we old?" And it's like, we are as old as we allow ourselves to stay connected with shit. Right? 40 ain't old, 50 ain't old. But when you, like, in Jerry, I'm using you as an example, you have a tolerance of shit that you ain't fucking with, and then some shit you be like, I'm gonna give a shot. Because when you really think about it, if you was really nice at TikTok, niggas gonna be like, that nigga Jerv a nut ass nigga. Why is he really nice at TikTok? You know what I mean? Like, it's some shit we just be like, all right. That ain't for us, my nigga. It ain't for us. We had our time. But when you nice at shit that's just continue to keep being, you might be a nut ass nigga because you just don't want to let it go. Like Lil Uzi, that nigga is hiding from 30. He's hiding from 30. Like, you looking like, damn, nigga, all right, bro, you, I'm waiting on you to just be said, my name's Uzi. I'm waiting on him to just say, I'm Uzi. He still want to be Lil Uzi forever, and he's damn near pushing 30.
I mean, Lil Wayne's still Lil Wayne, though.
But look at Lil Wayne.
Nigga hasn't grown up either, man. What are you talking about? He's making
his point. It's a nigga that's just hanging on.
Yeah.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, ah, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Yo, y'all got any Father's Day stories or anything like that, man? I'm not even around my kids on Father's Day, bro.
Yeah, I'm chilling. Today, I'm chilling out, man. I got my cake already. I got, you know, gifts.
That's, cake? That's they got way. You got cake?
Damn, you got a cake, my nigga?
I got a cake. I got a handmade card.
Making you feel of love, bro.
I will my wife upset, pulled up bro. On me with the cake. With New Jersey Red Velvet earlier. It was a red velvet cake. She was like, yo, happy Father's Day. I'm like, oh, bet. Like, I didn't know this is what we was doing today. Bet. And then my daughter, My favorite shit is like handmade cars, man. Like, I love that shit. Like, having kids and they, you know what I mean? They do some shit. Like, that's my favorite shit. You don't gotta buy me nothing. Like, give me that.
Yeah. Me so, too.
You know, that just like little small gifts, man. You know what I mean? Just the things that I like. I'm not a big lavish gift on Father's Day, nigga. Christmas, I might make you pay one of these days. You know what I'm saying? But throughout the year, I'm cool. I'm all right. So, Father's Day is just pretty cool, man. I'm chilling.
Christmas, yeah. I might make you pay.
Yeah, you gonna, you might have to pay one of these. Yeah, yeah.
What was your best Father's Day? Because I feel like y'all have had a like many now to a point where you can kind of say that was the best one.
For me, it was when it would be my second one with Haven. When she turned one, she had her first steps on Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. So like that was, you know, I mean, I definitely had somebody was cutting onions and shit when I saw that. But yeah, I mean, to me, so it's easy for me on that. I just like getting these t-shirts every year, bro. Like I get a pair of socks with like to say something about being a dad. I'm in that phase in my life. I actually like wearing the stuff like this one. I like wearing the shirts that are given that say I'm at that phase in my life. I just want to have a nut ass shirt on and then match it up with some sneaks.
I'm like, don't do that shit. I'll take anything like they make the draw or whatever, that's cool, but like don't buy no cake, don't buy no car, don't buy nothing, don't buy
a gift. So if your kids bought you a flan,
no, that's cool. I mean, like, that's
do they know that? Do they know you fuck with flan like that?
A little bit, because I got some in the fridge and I'd be mad when people be eating it. Like, who ain't
oh, yeah, yeah. So they know, like, yeah, pops ain't he.
That's what I'm saying.
Shit, yeah.
Like, they got to lock in. They got to get a little bit better with their presence and their thoughtfulness. Like,
yeah.
My daddy don't want nothing. That nigga want a quiet home and a nigga want flying.
I'll tell you what I like. So they did this yesterday. It wasn't for Father's Day or anything, but they wrote essays. Everybody wrote an essay about different things. One wrote what she want to be when they want to be when they grow up. One wrote what they want to get better at this summer. And the third one, because going to a new school, like what's life going to be like at the new school? And I'm like, I like that. I like reading because I like trying to how their minds work, you know, what they're, you know, that's the stuff I like. But like, oh, here, I got you a tie.
Apparently my greatest Father's Day was 2016. And I noticed because my wife, she was just like looking at like some, you know, like old Father's Day stuff, whatever. And she was like, she was like, what do we do for you in 2016? Cause like, I see this tweet, like, and you was going crazy about this shit. Like, oh, I know we went out to dinner for sure. I know. Absolutely. Like us, you know, me and the kids, we went out to dinner. Absolutely. So that one had to be great. I don't know what they bought me. It probably was, like I said, regular shit, man. Like I said, make me some at home. That's cool, man. We go out to eat or something like that. I'm great with that. So, you know, that was great.
But this goes back to my birthday thing. Like, I don't want Father's Day to be a big deal because, like, ah, man, that means that's another thing. I got to, like, find something to make a big deal for somebody else. Like, nah, man, we're not doing that, man.
Yeah, I would probably say in recent memory, like, you know, when I 2018, when I found out that we were having a boy, you know what I mean? Like, that,
yeah.
that happened maybe a month or two, like, before. So, like, that Father's Day was special because like, it's Father's Day, and then I got a son on the way and all of that. So, it was just an ill, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and definitely in recent memory, it was that one, for sure.
Cub Chronicles.
Yeah, you feel me? That's what it's about, man. That shit go back a long way.
We love Cub Chronicles. Cub Chronicles is one of my favorite documentaries on the internet, bro.
Cub Chronicles. Let's move on to Club Chronicles, Key Valley. And now they got Uncle Clifford being the opening act of the strip club, and people what strip club is this?
Yeah, man.
What strip club is this? Again, like, I'm not trying to be phobic of any sort, but like, what strip club is this? Like, number one, man. Number two, even when the girls come out, by the way, it's like a concert. Like, I've been to strip clubs all over, all over this country. The most famous strip clubs, the most hole in the wall strip clubs. I ain't never seen a bunch of niggas crowding on it, like cheering, like it's fucking game.
Real quick before we go on, rest in peace to Follies. Follies is done now. They got rid of Follies. They showed the video. They taking the signs down and all that. So
oh, no.
If you're familiar with Atlanta, the strip club culture down here, you know, Follies is one of those staple type organizations. So, you know, it was a good run. It was a good run.
Oh, Chamblee's only strip club shuts down after a string of legal losses. What are the legal losses? Hold on, let me see. Including one that prohibits the business from selling alcohol featuring fully nude dancers. Oh, yeah. Oh, is this a county thing? Is that what's happening? Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's how Hampton was. Hampton, it couldn't be, there was no hard liquor, and they were topless establishments. That's it.
Oh, no.
Wait,
it was no hard liquor and it was topless only?
Yep.
No, that's why. Like, there are places where it's like you can either have liquor or you can have full nude. You can't have both. You can't have neither at all.
Nah, bro. Nah. You can get the fuck out of a pitcher of a beer. I never drink so much. That's crazy. That's why I think that's when I started liking beers, because that was all we had.
But you're saying even then they're not full nude, even when you're drinking a beer.
No, it's just topless.
Nah,
you might as well went to a fucking like Chuck E. Cheese in the hood, because like some of the moms in there might get the fight and you might see a titty, and they don't got hard liquor. I don't think they got like just beer up there. So you might just went there, save yourself the trouble. Like,
hey, bro,
crazy.
I'm such a germaphobe, bro. I cannot fuck with strip clubs like that, bro. But the food do be fire.
Not anymore, but come on, Trey. Yeah.
Would you go to the P Valley shit? Would you go to that shit?
I'm not.
With the way that they're setting up.
Like, nigga, I'm not even going.
Are y'all shocked?
Listen, I'm not even going to that city, nigga. I will be like this. Hey, if niggas was doing like say we had to do the neighboring city, like we were going to a pod and we got broke and a car broke down, nigga, or the van broke down, who's in there? Nigga, I'd be in there like this. The whole time, mad as fuck, not talking to nobody, bro. Like, I cannot believe we here, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, when we getting out of here? That's how I would be the whole time.
This episode had so much shit that I didn't understand. Like, the white girl in the convenience store that was going to call the cops.
Yeah.
Like, why did we have that? What was that scene for? Like, oh, she's afraid of the masks. Like, okay. Like, unnecessary. The or random nigga fight.
Yeah, the random nigga fight was crazy, too.
Like,
when they fought outside the club?
Yeah. Gang.
That's not random.
No, but it's random in the case of, I don't give a shit about either of these characters.
Nah, but that's the homie that knows, that's the only homie that knows murders that we think. Here's my thinking, right? Like, that's the only person that we know that knows, right? Outside of Uncle Clifford and
other dude,
Mississippi. Right? Because he used to run with murder in season one.
Yeah, I was like, who is this guy? Like, they gave us no, you know, usually when they say previously on P-Valley, you're going to bring back a character we ain't seen in like a year. They're like,
you should have seen it.
No, they ran everything back from last week. They forgot to tell you about that part. And I only recognized that because it they said something. Like, he was like, oh, this bitch ass nigga's wearing them colors now or whatever. Like, insinuating, yo, he used to be with them. And then that made me think. And then when he made his little comment, that ain't his type, I was like, oh, shit, that's the dude.
Yeah.
That's the dude that now I don't know if the homie that had the full-fledged Rick Ross video coming out of jail, I don't know if he knows also. I feel like he might know because he
might be that nigga partner on
the so that's yo, how they was sitting on the step at the end talking and how like it was like that. I think that also I wouldn't be shocked that that's the situation.
Right. I didn't know it was like that. I thought it was like, yo, he's like, yo, remember that time when this and that? And like, he's like, haha, yeah. Like, I could feel like he uneasy, like he don't want to let him know that, yo, I'm this way or whatever. But yeah, man, okay, that makes a lot more sense. And I'm like, who, like, why are these guys, like, I don't care. All right, what else they got? They got Roulette now hollering at the white boy that was Gidget's man or whatever. I didn't know who he was until they mentioned Gidget. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, who's Gidget? This white guy? Gidget was the white stripper from season
one. Oh, okay. They probably should have ran that back and reminded us who was, too.
It was just a bunch of people. Like, I'm like, y'all just going to make us kind of make believe.
Yeah, they've been away too long for them to just think that we consuming mad TV, bro. Like, you have to really, you got to really do a thorough.
And those are pandemic years. That wasn't a regular, those were pandemic years.
Yeah.
Bro, you know, when you watch Ozark, they'll, like, if some shit happened, like, they bring in a character who was there in season one. And they'll run that shit back, man.
Yeah, so you can remember and be like, "Oh, that's that nigga." Like,
yeah. Like, they've run shit from the first episode when The homie got killed and he picked up the brochure or whatever. So I mean, it was just a lot of that. We finally meet the football coach's wife, mm-hmm. and she came out with her titties on. I'm like, what's coach, happening here?
Bro. She was trying to have three. She got mesmerized.
Ten racks.
Listen, she tried to get met. She got mesmerized. I mean, 10 racks up in that city.
You probably could buy that shit.
Do you see the condo? But I thought it was funny. She's God, like, ain't no hoes around here. And it was like, you getting $10,000 to come up every weekend. You need a condo to get fucked by my husband. Well, that ain't hoeing. What's it? What is that?
I was just about to say, like, bro, that's literally
that's actually the definition of it. The
definition of hoeing.
Yeah, that's literally. No,
but
what it is.
I love.
That's not even disrespecting you. That's just keeping it real.
Just call it what it is.
I love how she had levels to the hoes, though. Why they all hoes? She gamed her up with the hoes.
Sure.
Yo, the funniest shit, and niggas, y'all niggas with kids can relate to this shit, nigga. She trying to get it cracking in the fucking ringtone keep coming off.
Yes. And it's the dumbest ringtone, man. Oh my God, me, man. Oh my God.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. No, ain't
that's on rolls, too, by the way.
Yeah. Ain't no, in that moment right there, like, that's. It's over. Like, yeah. It's. Unplug the machine, man. It's over, baby. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Game over.
Word.
We got a lot of sob stories this episode, too. We got mad sob stories. Y'all notice that? Everybody had a sob story. The dude that went to prison got a sob story. This dude got a sob story.
We got different sob stories. Save your soliloquy. Shout out to
Yo, Main Man got shot on IG Live, too, by the way. I don't know if anyone peeped that. In the real world, that should come back and be a problem, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And why, yo, how is she going to still go live? Like, here's the thing. If I'm going live and shots are starting to get fired, I'm probably going to get off because I'm not concerned with this shit no more.
I done seen a nigga get shot and rather call a fucking 911 than went live.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, niggas have done that before. Have posted
Nigga be talking like, a nigga shot me.
Yeah.
And then niggas just go and demise on the fucking live. Like,
that definitely happened.
Internet got niggas fucked the fuck
that
up.
That 100% happened.
Call 911.
Yeah. Call 911.
Yeah.
Call 911 for me. Fuck these people.
Call 911. Like the kid.
Like Wyclef.
No, like you ain't see that video of the kid that ate the pepper?
Oh, yeah. Just recently. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Call 911.
Like, bro. Great. Yeah, nah, man.
Yo, why did Autumn give up like 16% off the rip on their ownership? She went from 85% down to 69%. I was like, why? Because somebody got hurt? Like, who cares?
Yeah, you kind of gotta know, like, if you're getting in this shit, you gotta know, like, why? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's like, what was the even gotta know what happened for her to give up ownership?
Yeah,
I'm like, so when a bitch got hurt, guess what?
It's just what it is, like,
it's part of the game.
Yeah,
man, that's why,
like, she's not the first one to ever get hurt at a strip club. Like, I feel they probably have some type of insurance for this type shit.
They don't have shit. They tell them bitches to kick rocks.
Expecting it. This is what it is.
Like, I meant the pink.
No, the pink told them bitches to kick rock. Oh, yeah, the pink would, right? Like, we have a special insurance policy for this.
Yeah.
Nerd. This nerd-ass strip club.
Fucking losers. You got insurance. Wow. Like, all right. Take my business elsewhere.
Who put in the chat, like, this whole-ass thread about, actually, hoodoo or whatever? I was like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever read in my life, man.
The shit about Diamond? I mean, not Diamond, whatever bull name is. That's his name?
That's his name. Diamond does definitely, about as strip as you would not think.
That made episode two ass. Niggas in there doing voodoo. Nigga over there like, do it in the thing, get the bell. So,
Katori Hall, who's the creator of the show, or the story, I think, maybe even the show, talking about one of the most shocking moments in P-Valley has been the realization that Diamond is a root worker. His removal of trauma from Mercedes' right shoulder in episode 2 has caused quite the stir, but there have been signs from the jump. In episode season one, episode three, Diamond Granddaddy's old school remedy of crushed pepper and alcohol to take out muscle soreness. It's straight from Zora Neale Hurston's Neale's Lament. Who gives a shit? Diamond's carnelian necklace was made from the stone of a friend who died in Iraq. A bomb killed his friend. He survived. A PTSD victim. He wore this lucky charm, so he gave it to Keyshawn for strength. Hoodoo 101. The objects of the dead are extremely powerful. To me, Diamond's release of negative energy from Mercedes' shoulder on a Saturday night. Actually, she wrote on a Saturday night. Ain't no different from a pastor helping saints get happy on a Sunday morning. Hoodoo is not inherently evil practice. In fact, it's dumb, bro. It's the last one she said. The fact that our ancestors brought their spiritual practices and beliefs to this country, merging them with their knowledge of the earth in order to survive, is a testament to our resilience and our Africanness. We are powerful, magical people. Yo, it's a metaphor. We are a powerful, magical. We're not actually magical. Ain't no magic. Yeah. This nigga, she got shot in her shoulder.
She was basically carrying the weight of someone who shot somebody.
Who gives a shit?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like, oh, I know plenty of niggas that shot.
You remember Genuine in the video?
Niggas ain't walking around.
Remember how he got the shit? He got the shit from the old movie. And he called the broom over there and shit. Like that shit reminded me of that. Like we was watching it and it got to that point in the episode. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here for real? Cause like, what's up? I get it, but come on, you couldn't have just put a good massage game down. It had to be like that. Like,
or no, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Get some roots and berries and shit, mash it up, and then rub it into her shoulder and let that shit like a
marinate.
Like a voodoo Bengay, like fix her shoulder. Like, okay, I'm gonna accept that. This nigga didn't touch her. He just went with his fingers. He just waved his fingers around it and like acted like he was really stressed. And then she started crying and all of a sudden she felt fine. Like, I'm not here for this shit, man. Shit ain't real. And like, your show ain't supernatural. Although now all of a sudden it is.
That's like, the part right there.
You know what's about to get more supernatural. I know y'all niggas ain't watched the preview.
Because the ghost, right? Like, is the ghost coming back? What?
Yeah. Oh yeah, all I know is you know, they don't show you much. The ghost is definitely popping in this next episode.
Oh man, if it ain't Styles P, keep it, man.
I think it's hilarious though, because like, I think something's wrong with Roulette. I think Roulette brought that fucking ghost.
Roulette's the one that's doing a little extra for the change.
Yeah, she sucked her dick and all this other shit, and that's also what's the name from Snowfall.
Snowfall. Shout out to Jerv for pointing that out last week. Jerv was very proud of himself for being
that nigga had a moment.
Like, I was like, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, y'all niggas ain't know? I had to put y'all niggas on.
Nigga, the king of I
followed Whisper on Instagram. Let's see how that goes. blue check mark, don't fill me down. Hey, love that. Now, see, that's the thing. Now I got to start faking it on Instagram. Like, I love this show. Oh. Like, I'm going to start doing stories and stuff, like, and tagging her. Like, oh, loving.
You got to buy all the way into it, though.
New favorite character.
You got to come with theories and all that, too. Like, look, I don't know if she's killing it. Thought about it that way, but you ever thought about it like this? Like, you got to come like that, bro. Got to.
She's going to be a key character because, you know, ironically, when she was getting dropped off from doing what she was doing, they had this huge shipment of what turns out to be Oxycontins coming in and just one magically fall. And she's so far away, but her vision is so locked in. She zooms in and says, and it gives him the wink like, it's all good.
Yeah, I just got done sucking a dick too. So we're all doing bad things, guys. Uncle Clifford doesn't need to know any of it. All right, man. The moment we've all been waiting for. Flatbush misdemeanor. Season 2, episode 1. Drop, man. And we pick up pretty much where we left off, kind of. Drew is on the run for shooting the caseworker. Dan has lost his job. He's on suspension, so he's got to work at his stepdaddy bicycle shop. Kev is MIA. We don't know where he at. Zaina living on her own. I think those are all the characters. I just had a couple of notes, man. I don't know how y'all want to do this. I literally just want to say like the funny lines that made me laugh my ass off. The police officer that comes and interrogates Dan at the bicycle shop is Officer Django Jenkins. Like, yeah, these motherfuckers are wilding, man.
So you know Dan wrote that too, right?
He wrote that episode. That,
yeah, because he was just saying like, oh, I love writing for Kareem. Like, I'll never get tired of writing. Like,
yo, Kareem is fucking hilarious.
Nigga look like Michael Irvin.
Yo, Kareem said, "What is it, Your Highness? I want to testify again at the hearing." He called the dude Your Highness. Oh man, yo, Yamanika fucking had me crying, bro.
Is that the therapist?
She's the therapist, psychologist. Okay. She said, "Call me an Uber, not an Uber. Not no Lyft unless it's three niggas lifting me up into the Uber." And she asked him for lunch. She says, "Do you want me to make you lunch?" Like, nigga, I don't want you. Your dirty ass apartment. She shit on that nigga so hard, man. The other thing that made me laugh was everybody making fun of how Drew was dressed. My man said Drew dressed like the Undertaker. And then Zayna said Drew dressed like he's about to go kill werewolves. And then Kareem said he dressed like Bootleg the Vampire Slayer.
Smoking that nigga.
Yo. And then when like he leaves the shop, fucking Dan says, "Thank you, Congressman." Thank you, Congressman. Yo. And then
the girl in the B shop too was like, "Kanye got you niggas wearing
Kanye got y'all niggas wearing anything."
Oh, fuck, Yamanika in the testimony. She said, "There go a nigga that's losing." She's telling like, yo, and that's good, man. Oh no, that wasn't her. That was Unk, right? Or stepdad. Yeah. That's Kareem. Kareem said he's a good example for the children because he's a loser. So the kids say, "Yo, there go a nigga that's losing. I could be better. I could do something with my life." Oh my god, man. This show's so funny, man.
Yo, the nigga Blue is easily my favorite character. The nigga pulls up. He's outside on the block playing Game Boy Color. Nigga hands Drew the money. Drew's looking at this nigga like, "What the fuck is this?" He has a cartridge in his hand. He's like, "Oh, nigga, I've been looking for that." He says, "Yo, you been keeping up with Zayna?" He says, "Yeah, man. I was following for a little bit, but then that shit got weird, you know?" He was like, he said, "And my feet started to get tired." So then the nigga said, he was like, basically, "Why you out here dressed like you killing wolves?" And nigga Drew says, I'm killing this drip, right?
He says,
"What's up with them Philly niggas?" He said, They said, "They won't front me a connect until my beard connect."
Beard connect.
So niggas is out there owning. And then when they was also talking about the nigga, they said, "He's no white sailor. He's a white failure." To Dan. And then the nigga said, remember when the nigga Kareem was working on the pipe, the nigga said, "After all that pipe I laid, now I gotta lay."
Yeah.
And then
he said, I gotta go drain this pipe. He, like a good comic, he brings it back and brings it to something he said earlier. So, yeah, he's then hilarious.
Then we have the sticker moment of Kareem and Sons. And I was like, yo, that is a great moment of television, bro, to have that. But like, you know, we haven't got Kev yet. Kev is still MIA since he's left town. He's not responding to texts. He's not responding to FaceTime. You know, Dan is going through withdrawals. He's showing like he's really tweaking like crazy. He's been clean for months, but still wants some Xanax. And it's just like basically begging everybody to help him get a refill. But he's reinstated lack of like school teachers and things of that nature. I would assume this is also pandemic based, so like a lot of niggas have been laid off and things of that nature. This show is amazing. Dan tipped me off and said basically that second episode is going to go a little bit off the rails and third will come back. So okay. We'll have him on for third episode because I was thinking about bringing him on second, but he said it's like it kind of goes away from the story and he had to like
right. Got you. So Jerv, you had a question.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. Jerv, you had a question?
I did, but in my seeing that I'm old, I no longer remember. It gets old. Like that when you get a certain age, I guess.
That ain't age, nigga. That's mileage, you know, but too much taxation on your brain. Trey was saying about like Kareem and Sons. That's something when you lit up. No.
No.
Nothing.
Right. Nothing.
Kev being gone. Oh, it's tweaking. Oh, the pills.
Oh, yeah. He's off. Yo, I thought he was clean, but wasn't he popping pills? Like, were those not?
He said, pills? Well, he said
he still has them. He has them, but he had to space them out because he's getting low.
Okay. Got you.
You know what I mean? Because the thing is,
main man was
he wasn't never not using them, but he was overusing them. You know what I'm saying? You supposed to take like one, and the nigga doing this anytime he had a stressful moment. The nigga like,
right, yeah.
He was, yeah, he taking was, like three. Yeah. He taking like three or four. So like now, it's the come down of like I only got maybe five left in this bottle, and now I got to take it here, and now I got to take it here and space it out so he can have like for the next day instead of just how he had a plethora of the motherfuckers where he was throwing back three or four and just getting after it and doing whatever. I'm still waiting at the old girl that he fell in love with too. Where she at? I know she probably lost her job or she's still written into the story.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The landlord was crazy too. We didn't even talk about Shorty where she was like, if you're going to have weed, you better share some too.
Yeah. So you can't be stingy. You can't be, what did she say? You can't be what? And stingy toe. Too, you can't not go to school and be stingy. Yeah. Oh, girl, what is she trying to buy crystals at the fucking Jamaica app for?
Oh, because she remember she was making because Zayna was making $200 off of those things. Like that's her hustle, and whatever she was saving her money to. But like now, you know, to understand.
Yo, I fucking love that show, man. I'm glad it's back. I'm looking forward to the next 9 weeks, I guess, of this, us reviewing this, because it's cool, and I can't wait to have Dan back on, because that's nice to have that kind of behind the scenes look from the co-creator of the show. I think that's gonna do it for us here on Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Thanks to Jerv, thanks to Trey, thanks to Mariano. Remember, patreon.com/countthethings. Make sure you are subscribed to all this goodness that is coming your way. Till next time, stay black, motherfuckers.